Good afternoon, everyone. Desire your prayers. Before I start in on the message, first of all, I want to thank all the saints for your hospitality, your love, your care, your blessings, your generosity. I have thoroughly enjoyed myself here in Guthrie. You all have a wonderful congregation here. And I believe that the Lord is doing great things here, and this is going to be a bright light in this state. And as I pray for you, I pray that you would pray for me, pray for my family, pray for our congregation there in Albuquerque. We need the Lord to work just like he's working here. We need him to work there. What I've written on the board is, one, you and I use these numbers all the time. They're on our receipts. The children use them in school. Everywhere we go, when we count, we use one. I want it to be something that you never forget. There are things contained within this Bible that are secrets to this great gospel that God has given us. And every time you see the number one, I want you to think about this message. I'd like to first turn to John, the 17th chapter. Jesus knew he was going to be going to the Father, and he prayed a prayer. This is one of the longest prayers that we can find in the Bible that Jesus prayed. And so this afternoon, I'm going to read that prayer. And I want us to notice how many times that shows up. John, the 17th chapter, starting at the 11th verse. "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but thou shouldst keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me unto the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they might also be sanctified through the truth. Neither I pray for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one. As Father, thou art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, thou in me, and that they may be perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou loved me." As we live in this world, there is always going to be an occasion, because we have an adversary who is working to divide, working to destroy, working to undermine. And Jesus prayed this very detailed prayer. And do you notice how many times he said that they may be one? When we are tempted to give into what the enemy is suggesting, And we look wherever we may be. If we see the number one, let it remind us what Jesus prayed. And help us to recognize that this is the enemy at work trying to split one into multiple pieces. Jesus wants us all to be one. In those times when we think, you know, I'm having a little bit of a disagreement with this one, and I just don't quite see things the way they see them, remember Jesus' prayer, that they may be one. How important is it for me to get my point across just so I can be right? What does that work into? That works into what the devil wants. He wants to crack somewhere on that number and break it up where you can't recognize it as one. We live in a world where you can see people's homes are broken. You can tell that people aren't one in their home. There's churches in various places, and there are things that you can see that they're broken. Somehow the enemy has gotten in there and broken that number one. And that's why Jesus prayed this long prayer. Nowhere else in the Bible do you find a prayer by him that long. And for him to express that they may be one over and over is very important. It meant something to him that we stay together and that we be one. So in those times, when you go to the store, you get your receipt and you see those numbers on there, every time you see the number one, remember, Jesus wants me to be one. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 7. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And why am I doing all this? He said, because there is one body, there's one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. There's one Lord, there's one faith, there's one baptism, one God and Father in all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. The whole plan of salvation consisted about everyone being one. Christ didn't come and say, well, I'm going to bring this type of salvation for these people. I'm going to bring this type of salvation for these people. And those over there, I'm going to give them something different. No, he brought one gospel truth. He brought one Spirit came into this world after he went back to heaven. There's no variations of the Holy Ghost. There is only one Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is not going to break himself up and make himself look like many different things. You and I must remember, we're one. There's only one faith. There's only one Lord. There's only one baptism. Who are we baptized to? We are baptized to Christ. Yes. We are one. 1 John, the fifth chapter. 1 John 5, verses 5 through 8. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. You and I must understand There's no dissension in heaven. There's no disagreement. Christ comes to God and says, well, I don't quite agree with this point. The Spirit doesn't say, well, I want to do it this way. It says they agree in one. And then it says there are three in the earth that bear witness. The Spirit, the water, and the blood. What do they all point to? They all point to Christ's way. Amen. You know, we live in a world where it seems like so many people have an opinion about the truth and what it means and what it stands for and how they should live and how they should not live. And you know what? There's a lot of dissension. But they fail to understand that if they agree in heaven as one and in the earth they agree as one, what the expectation is that we agree in one when we look at the scriptures. There won't be an excuse for anyone. Because the one Holy Ghost was sent to the world to occupy every Christian and every individual so that they could clearly understand what the Bible says, how it teaches, and the principles are there, and the Holy Ghost will consistently teach the same thing. And what is he always doing? He's always pointing us back to God the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. It saddens my heart to look at our world and see all these churches. And it saddens it even more to see the disagreements that come up in them. Because the people lack the sight, the foresight of what God was really wanting to do. One. Those people that are out there in the world are part of other churches. There's some honest hearts and souls in them. I can't look at them strangely if they have a testimony of Christ. But what I should be doing is just as Jesus did when he prayed to the Father that they should be one. When I see those individuals, maybe I see that they're not quite where the level of understanding that I may be, my job as a Christian, as their fellow brother and sister, is to pray for them. Why? Because they're one. The same blood that washed my sins has washed theirs. They may not understand everything, but me being one who has understanding, has been brought up, and I have knowledge, the Lord has revealed things to me, I can't push those things over on them. But my job is to pray for them. Lord, help them get to the place that you want them to be. Why? We're one. Psalms, the 96th chapter. Psalms 96, verses 9 through 13. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful, and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the woods rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness, and the people with his truth. There is no confusion about what judgment is going to be. It's not going to be a jury that determines whether we make heaven or not. You know, we all get summons for jury, don't we? And they're trying to pick a group of people that's going to judge fairly in this particular trial that's going on. But let me tell you, in that day, there's only one judge. It's Lord Jesus Christ who's going to stand there. God's going to pass the judgment. It's going to be fair. It's going to be right. Why? Because he meant us to be one. Everyone is going to be judged in the same manner. He's going to be able to look in their heart based on their understanding and determine whether or not they get to come into his heaven. One judge. You know, there's some people that believe that God's going to end the world and he's going to take those already and he's going to leave others to remain behind. That's not so. The scripture does not bear that out in any way. He's coming once and he's going to judge the whole world simultaneously. And you know, there's people that say, you know what? Well, when I stand before God, I'm going to say this and I'm going to say that and I'm going to ask him this and ask him that. Let me tell you, when you stand before Almighty God who inhabits eternity, you won't be able to say anything. Amen. Our eternity will be set because our lives will be finished. And there's no question in our mind. Well, you know, there's some people, they sit in the courthouse and that jury judged them and they got questions. Well, maybe that one juror didn't like me. Or this other one, oh, he favored my case. It's not like that with the Lord. It's only one judge. And he's going to judge fair. We're not going to have a question. We're going to know whether or not we pass the test. Why? Because he made one salvation. He made one path to heaven. And there's only going to be one judge to figure it all out. How many judges are in the United States? Hundreds. You got how many sit on the Supreme Court? You got 9 different judges sit on the Supreme Court, and they all have different opinions. We don't have to worry about that with the Lord. He's the only one sitting in the Supreme Court. Amen. Songs of Solomon, the 6th chapter and the 9th verse. Songs of Solomon 6 and 9. My dove, my undefiled is but one. She is the only one of her mother. She is the choice one of her that bare her. The daughter saw her and blessed her. Yea, the queens and the concubines, they praised her. Who is this talking about? It's talking about the one undefiled church of God. There's no sin in it. There's no imperfection. There's a song that says, every spot in imperfection must be purged. That's the whole purpose of what God did with his plan of salvation. He gave the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit works tirelessly with you and I to bring us to that undefiled state, where we are part of this one church of God, this one body that lives close to God, that lives clean and pure lives every day. Not just because, you know, there's some people that Saturday is their night of fun and you may find them in the club. And then Sunday comes and they go to church. It's not like that in the church of God. You live righteous and holy every single day. We don't choose the day. I'm going to live right today. Well, today it ain't convenient for me to live right. It's not like that. She's undefiled. She's beautiful. Revelations 21 and 2. Revelations 21 and 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. This is a future event that John the Revelator got to see. So there has to be there's no question in our mind of whether this takes place or not. He said, I saw it. He said, I saw the bride. And how was the bride? The bride was adorned. Now, those of you that have got married in here and you're a groom, what if at your wedding you turn around and look and your bride's coming down the aisle and she had her work clothes on? Would you do one of these? Rub your eyes and look again. Am I seeing correctly? She came unprepared. What was she thinking? What do we expect? We expect our bride to be adorned for a wedding. You know, that's what Jesus Christ is expecting when he comes back for his bride. At the end of time, he's expecting his bride to be adorned. We are supposed to be adorned with all the graces, with all the power that he has ordained for our lives. What happened to the man that went to the marriage and didn't have the garment on? They said, "Where's your garment?" He didn't have one. They didn't let him in either. The bride of Christ is adorned. You know, there's some people that look at churches now, you know, they're not what they used to be. I'm going to tell you something. The bride is still just as beautiful now as it was in the past generations. But do we see it that way? The world would like to dumb it down, would like to compromise it. I'll say that. But it is adorned. And either we're a part of it or we're not. God knows who's a part of it. He left that in his hands. There's a lot of people that are out there in the world. You know, there's a song that says, "Everybody that talks about heaven ain't going." We're going to have to be adorned. And we're going to have to be adorned as one. We stand for the same gospel truth that has always been preached in the Word of God. We stand for one body. We stand for one truth. We stand for one Holy Ghost working amongst us. We are one. Revelations 22, verse 17. "And the Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' Let him that heareth say, 'Come.' Let him that athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." This is what we represent. We as Christians, we are going to interact with all various kind of people in the world. In business, you go to the store, you go this place, you go that place, you go on vacation, you are going to interact with people. And what we are representing is we are representing the bride of Christ, and we are representing something that should attract them. Should, when they look at us, they should say, "There's something different about them. It's not just because of the way we dress. There is something about our spirit that is different than the world." And that's what's available. And when we see those kind of people, and maybe they may come up to us and want to talk a little bit. Do you have time to talk? You don't know whether or not that's a soul that God has been chasing. You don't know if you are the one that he has called to help them find their way home. Should that happen, guess what? That's your brother, that's your sister, you are one. No matter where they come from. So every time we see this number, it's everywhere. It's on the mile markers. It's on our cars. It's on our clothes. It's on our oven. Some of us got the modern fridges. It's on the refrigerator too. It's on the receipts. It's on our money. It's everywhere. And may it remind us that we are one.